Before we get to episode 152, I'd like to ask for a small favor. With the holidays approaching, you're going to be shopping at Amazon. When you do need to go to Amazon, I would appreciate it if you would type this into your address bar, icantseeyou.com/Amazon. That will take you to Amazon's homepage. Shop as you normally do. When you check out, it doesn't cost you anything more, but I do earn a small commission. Again, that's icantseeyou.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 152 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode, and I've got a few things to talk about, and I'll get to those in a second. But first, as always, fantasy update. And no, not that kind of fantasy. Fantasy football and fantasy hockey, and it was a mixed bag this week for me. I won in hockey. I'm 3-0 in second place because I don't have as many points as the guy in first place. And I lost in football. And that's the one I really care more about, because that's the thing. Neither of them are for money. They're just for bragging rights, and it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. I mean, even if it were for money, would it matter? Because it's not, it wouldn't be a lot of money, right? So in the all-blind hockey league, I'm 3-0, like I said. In the all-blind football league, I am now 6-2 and firmly entrenched in second place behind perennial winner Nick from Montreal. His team name is the Montreal Beavers. I don't know that I've ever mentioned my hockey name, though. Let's switch back to hockey. And I know I just mentioned Montreal, and it's confusing to you because the Montreal guy should be first in the hockey. My hockey name is the White Cane Killas, K-I-L-L-A-Z. That is my hockey name. Back to football. FC Tunguska, 08, my fantasy football team name, is now 6-2, as I said, and I have no one else to blame but myself for this week's downfall. Had I left everything as is, I would have been fine. I had Dearness Johnson from Cleveland as my flex player. Had I left him there, he got 9.9 points in our league. Fine. I had Baltimore in as my defense. And you're saying, why would I leave Baltimore in there? They were on a bye. That's my thinking as well. Why would I leave them in there? And so I didn't. I picked up Chicago. You know how many points I got? -1. So by leaving the team that was sitting at home watching TV during Sunday afternoon would have gotten me more points than the team that actually played. So that combination of 10.9 points cost me the week. I would have won by around half a point. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that just leaving it alone and trying to go and do, and I'm doing research and, you know, I got 8 million things to do and I'm worried about that. And I could have left it all alone and been on that. And that is, I guess, what fantasy sports is all about. My players did fine. If I just left them alone, it would have been okay. And I'll leave it at that for fantasy for this week, because it really wasn't a fantasy. It was a nightmare. Moving on, it was election day here in Pennsylvania, and I guess around the country for that matter. Some places more important than others, just local stuff, primarily in Pennsylvania, school boards and things like that. In Pennsylvania, we also elected some judges, which that still confuses me all these years after I'm finished school. I thought the whole point of judges were not electing them so they didn't take campaign donations from people that maybe later on down the line they have to judge against. But whatever, we voted. Liz and I went, and we stood in line like it was a restaurant at dinner time. And it was, I don't know, around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was a long day for me, and I'll get to that next. You know, we waited and waited, and, you know, we hear one guy who was talking to somebody else that they knew in the lobby while we're standing there in line who had already voted. He said, I felt like I was filling out the SAT. Our polls use paper ballots, like back in the 19th century. The only thing we didn't have to do was, you know, put our thumb into ink to mark the ballot and then show everybody that we voted because we all had purple thumbs. I remember seeing that a while back. I want to say it was Iran or Iraq. I guess Iraq, after Saddam. And, you know, we get there. And so, of course, you know, I can't fill it out. And I'm sure that there is a way for me to do it. And in fact, I know there's a way for me to do it. But it would have taken that much longer. I would have had to do something on the computer and I would have had to do the mail-in. And I like to go, first of all, because I never get out of the house. I got out of the house on election day, Tuesday, the 2nd of November. Before that, it was when Jane came home from New York. We went out to eat, and that was 13 days earlier. That was the last time I had left my property, unless you count the few footsteps that I took off the property into the street when I took the trash out a couple of times. So I like going. We went. And again, it was 3 pages long, front and back of one page and then one side on the next page. And, you know, they're going through, you know, all the different things. I don't think there were any questions. And, you know, Liz and I are, you know, exact as far as our ideology goes. So, you know, she just wrote the same thing down for both. And, you know, who knows who she picked, whether she's telling me that or not. I trust her after 31 plus years. So we voted, and I want to say it probably took her 10 or 12 minutes. And it's kind of funny. You know, I like to stand. In fact, I'm sitting for this podcast, which when I don't do this podcast, I don't sit. I stand. And in fact, I walk around and I am tethered to my computer by a 6 or 8 foot or 10 foot cord that goes from my headset into the computer. So I don't know when I finally do get my proper gear set up, how I'm going to stand still to talk into that microphone. In fact, a podcast the other day, someone said, "Were you walking around while we were doing the episode?" And again, it was another, you know, blind person, and she just saw something moving back and forth on her screen. She didn't know if it was me or something else was going on. So during that podcast, I walked about 6,000 steps, which I'll have to tell her the next time I talk to her. So we voted, and I'm interested in hearing from Democracy Live. They're the ones who have the contract in Pennsylvania to do the accessible ballots. And they're going to be at the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania State Convention coming up on the 11th of November. So I'm interested to hear what they have to say. I know they spent a lot of money, meaning the state spent a lot of money on that. From what I was told, for the first year, it was $14 million, which sounds like an awful lot of money. They did a website. And again, I guess I just priced the websites wrong when I do them because I don't charge that much. A lot less, in fact, and see where it's going from here. Because at the moment, to use the accessible ballots, and this is kind of funny, you have to print something out. A lot of blind people don't have printers because why would they have a printer? Because they don't need to see anything. They don't. What could they do with the printed page? So it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of like that. So I'll find out more, and I'm sure I will mention it again after I come back from the convention. But I did get out, and I voted. And I, you know, so it was a twofer. I got out of the house, and I voted. So I'm pretty sure most of the people I voted for won. It doesn't really matter. It matters that I voted. And to me, it's very important. And we were talking while we were waiting in line, Liz and I. And I don't think since I have been of voting age that I have ever missed a general election. There were a few primaries that we missed. There was one time when my dad was in the hospital and we missed going to the polls. And there was one time when I had first moved into a house, when I had a townhouse in Brookhaven that was down the street from the video store that I owned. And I couldn't find where to vote. It was another development behind where I lived, and I couldn't find it. So after that day, I asked someone who lived in that development, I said, "Where exactly?" And they told me, and then I went over there after, and I saw, and, you know, for the next three years that I lived in that house, I voted at that space. So I always have thought voting, you know, so many people do so much to protect our right to vote that it's important to me. And it's important to me to do it on the day. I think it's funny that Election Day has now turned into Election Month, and people are complaining they can't get there. You know, can you imagine somebody in the 1870s saying, hey, you know, we just won the Civil War, but I can't make it to the polls. It's just one day. I can't get there. I wish they had a mail-in ballot. I wish I could call in my vote. Just get off your ass and go and vote that day. Why is that so difficult? I don't get it. The polls are open a long time. In Pennsylvania, they're open from 7 in the morning till 8 at night. You can't find some time in there to go? I don't get it. That's enough of that, because I can go down a long slippery slope there. Election Day. It's called Election Day because that's the day you're supposed to vote. And that's the bottom line. So Election Day was a long day for me. It started Election Day Eve. And I'm not sure I mentioned this before in a previous episode. Our hot water heater, I'm sorry, that's redundant, right? If it heats up the water, of course it's a hot water heater. You don't heat up cold water. Our water heater, we knew when we bought the house, was old, just like our HVAC system. These are two items that we knew once we inspected the house before we purchased it, that in however amount of years we're here, there's a good chance that we're going to have to replace both. The refrigerator that I mentioned, you know, a while back that we had to replace, 4 years old, we didn't expect to have to replace that. So off and on since we moved in, the water heater has dripped a little bit here, then it would stop for a few weeks, then it would drip, and then it would stop. About 2 weeks ago, it started dripping more consistently. And when we first noticed it, it was around the time that we got a contract for our HVAC system. And it was around the time that we asked for a price to replace the HVAC system from a company that we trust in this area called Oliver. They are usually higher. They are, I believe, a full union shop. But we had used them in our house in Media, and I trust them completely. There are a lot of cheaper places out there. And in fact, someone that we know from our old development used one of those cheaper things, companies, and had some issues. We had never had an issue with Oliver over there. Now, it is a little bit different now. And it's moved on to another generation of owners. The folks that started it, you know, have retired and moved on, and actually lived out where my parents lived, out at Maris Grove in Glen Mills. And, you know, so it's the next generation. And of course, like in any industry, things change. The contracts are different. I mean, the contract they used to have was just outstanding. I think we paid over $500 a year to have a contract, but we had two-zone HVAC. So basically, we had two air conditioners and two heaters, one for upstairs, one for downstairs. They weren't the same size because downstairs was obviously larger and we had some high ceilings. So it wasn't half the size, but it wasn't, you know, wasn't a full size either. It was, you know, maybe three quarters of what the upstairs, the downstairs one was the upstairs. So we, fortunately, knock wood, we never had to replace those systems, and we got prices on it. It was, you know, even back then, and we haven't lived there for over 6 years now. It was, I want to say $25,000 or $30,000, which, you know, that was a tough one to swallow. And that's why we didn't do it. And we prayed for that to hang in there, and it did. I don't know that we're going to get that lucky here because, you know, since we've been here, we've replaced a lot of things and changed a lot of things. And again, we don't expect to be here too long, but, you know, who knows? We didn't expect to be here at all. So the water heater started dripping, and Liz was changing it every couple of days. And then it became every day. And then it became, you know, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, or once at night, somewhere in there. And then it became every couple of hours. And over this past weekend, It went from every couple of hours to every hour to every half an hour. And for that fine, and at this point, we had already gotten the quote, like I said, with the HVAC. When we did all that work, they had asked us, are you looking to replace anything else? And, you know, I said, well, you know, our water heater is, you know, around 15 or 16 years old. I said, you know, could you give us a price? And, you know, I gave him the model number and everything. And he gave us a price of, and there were three prices. You know, one, which we ended up going with, you know, gave a 6-year labor and warranty and or parts, and maybe not labor, only for the first year, whatever. That was the cheapest one. It was $1,700. That's the one we went for. Because, I don't know that we're going to be here more than 6 years, but who knows? So when I called him or emailed him, I guess it was Friday when we were still at, like, you know, every couple of hours, you know, they responded saying that they could come out on Tuesday, and we picked Tuesday afternoon from noon to five. Well, as the weekend progressed, it went from every couple of hours, taking the water out. You know, you can't put a big bucket under there because it's right on the ground. I mean, you know, we had to have this, basically like a tray that had high walls, or the first thing we were using was a dish that Liz used to make lasagna in. And, then we moved on to something else that was plastic and had another tray under it to kind of catch any overflow. So by the time Monday got here, we were, you know, we went from every hour to every 45 minutes. And, you know, I was the one doing it because I had to set a reminder because I'd forget. You know, I didn't want to be upstairs with the dog and forget. And the one nice thing, you know, Ziggy was coming down with me and coming down with Liz when we were changing the water. So he likes to come down here now. And sometimes he doesn't even come down when we come down. We still don't let him down here on his own. You know, there's a lot of things down here he could get into and do. So, you know, and eat and, you know, cost us more money at the vet. So when... And it's funny, I was talking to my friend Alex, and he said, who does it overnight? I said, what overnight do? We don't have an overnight. You know, I go to bed at 4 every morning, and Liz wakes up at 5:15. So the overnight, and I'm pretty sure I've talked about my schedule. Usually I do most of my work between, you know, midnight and 4, because there's no one up, there's no one around, it's quiet, nobody's texting, nobody's calling, and I can get a lot done, not being distracted. I do some once Liz comes home from school, but, you know, it's, you know, do a little bit here, then go back upstairs and do a little bit here and go back upstairs, you know, for dinner and stuff like that. So I'm thinking, okay, I feel pretty good, you know, 4 o'clock going up to bed on whatever night that is, Sunday night. And, you know, Monday comes, and as I'm going to bed on Sunday night, I figured it sounded to me like the water was coming in faster into the, you know, the tray that we had, the container. And I had emptied it at around 12:30, and then again just before 2, and then, like I said, right around 4. And when I emptied it at 4, it was full and overflowing. So I knew that it, you know, we couldn't go that long. And I noticed that we had to do it, you know, more frequently, the emptying, and that's when it really accelerated. So Liz texted me, you know, after she knew that I'd be awake, because I wake up around 8:30. She said that it did seem like the water was coming out quicker. And I said, okay, I'll keep an eye on it. I'll check it every hour. And I was checking it every hour and emptying it every hour. But towards the end of the day, before she got home, I was then emptying it every 50 minutes. And, you know, by the time she got home, it was every 40 minutes. And, you know, we thought, okay, what are we going to do? I said, well, you know, we'll be okay. And then I realized, wait a minute, 40 minutes, you know, I can't go to sleep because, you know, that would overflow because there's more than an hour between the time, you know, everything, you know, I go to bed and Liz gets up. So, but I didn't have to worry about that because by the time I was ready to maybe go to sleep, we were at every 30 minutes And by the time I went up and laid down for about an hour. It was early Tuesday morning, from 5:30-ish till about 6:45. So I lay down. I didn't even take off my clothes. I just laid down on top of the covers and took a nap for an hour and change. When Liz got me up, she said, I've been changing it more frequently. I said, oh, how often? Every 10 minutes. And I thought, ooh, every 10 minutes, that's pretty close together. How am I going to work this out? You know, I'm already pretty groggy because, you know, I had an hour and maybe 10 or 15 minutes of sleep. And so when she went to school, she did what she usually does with Ziggy, put him in his cage because he's used to that. You know, he gets a treat and he goes in. He runs in. I mean, he's very excited because he's very food motivated, I guess, like the rest of the family. So he's in there. I figure I can just stay downstairs in the office. And the other good thing, and I'll speak about this in a minute. We've had all these episodes of White Canes Connect that we want to push out for the convention that's coming up next week. We want to get these episodes out. I think we've done 6 episodes for the convention. And because I was able to stay up late changing the water so frequently, I was able to get an episode not only edited, but published, which was great. And I didn't think I'd be able to get it done as quickly. But again, because I stayed up and everybody thought I was sleeping, didn't text me or whatever, at 5 o'clock in the morning before Liz had come down and relieved me. So I got an episode out there. I want to say it's episode 8, and we've since published episode 9. Episode 10 will go up today. Hopefully episode 11 tomorrow and episode 12, either over the weekend or on Monday. And again, the convention starts next Thursday. So that was our goal, to get them all out. And again, I'll get into White Canes Connect in a minute. So I was able to get that done, which was awesome. But because she put Ziggy in the cage, I stayed down here in the office after I was done doing the podcast and getting that done. You know, I have a couch here in Studio B. So I was just kind of sitting on the couch, and it's not long enough to lay down on, but I found that I could sleep just about anywhere. So I was just, basically taking a short nap. And occasionally, I had texted both Jane, because Jane had an event that morning and I want to make sure she was on her way, and just say hi, because I couldn't speak to her too much the night before because I was busy doing the podcast and, bailing out the water. I also had messaged my friend Alex, and, he said a couple of things, and that was that. But, so I was able to, in between my timer going off for every 10 minutes, I was able to, sit on the couch and, maybe I slept for 8 or 9 minutes here and there. Not every time, because sometimes I would, check email or do whatever. So that went on. And once it became early enough, or later in the morning, not early, because that would have been dumb to call too early, I called the contact that I had at Oliver. And I said, look, I said, the thing has really started to drip. Is there any way you can get us on the schedule for the morning window? Or if not the morning window, could you get us on near the beginning of that afternoon window where we're already scheduled from noon to 5? And I never heard back from him. But at around 11:20, I got a call from somebody in the office saying that Tim was going to be out in the next half an hour, 45 minutes. And that was great. I was very excited about that. Now, I should also mention, Jacob didn't work that day until, I think, 11 or 12. I don't remember which. Maybe 12. He maybe left at around 11:30. So for a while, he took over the bailing duties of emptying the every 10 minutes. And he would also set a timer so he didn't forget. So for about an hour, we left Ziggy in the cage. So nobody had to play with him and watch him. And he can't be left. He still can't be left alone in the house, because he will get into some sort of trouble. And I mean, he's still a puppy for another couple of weeks. Actually, I think he's a puppy for another 6 months, but he'll be a year in 2 weeks from today. So, uh, sorry, 2 weeks from yesterday, 17th. So we, he said, you know, Jacob said to me, do you want to, should we let Ziggy out? I said, no. I said, if you're going to do this every 10 minutes, I'm going to go take another nap. And I went upstairs and I took a nap for about an hour. Might've been a little more, might've been a little less, sometime in the 9 o'clock hour to just after 10. And, you know, then I came downstairs, and that's around the time I usually come downstairs, you know, any typical morning, you know, by the time I get a shower and do some things, you know, sometimes I lay in bed and answer emails before I get in the shower, especially if it's cold, I don't want to get out of bed. You know how that goes, right? So for the rest of the day, I'm, you know, Ziggy and I are going up and down the stairs, you know, emptying the water. He's coming with me. He always stops to look at the fridge because he knows there's some things in there that he wants downstairs in our basement. We also have a pantry downstairs that is full of things that he likes. As I mentioned before, he likes the pretzel rounds from Snyder's, which I call pretzel balls, and he'll stop in front of that cabinet to take a look. Not that we get them from there when we eat them every day, but he knows that's where we go to replenish upstairs. So we're doing that. So I was so happy that when I got that call at, you know, 11:15, 11:20, and I texted Liz and, you know, so it just worked out. So Tim came at, I don't know, I want to say about 20 minutes to 12, quarter to 12, and he started. And, you know, Ziggy went back into the cage. And again, I did some more podcasts because I had another episode. Well, I had four other episodes to edit. And I, you know, worked on those while he was working on the hot water, the water heater. And he was done probably by about 2:30, quarter to three. And it was all done. No, I guess around 2:30, because he said, you'll probably be ready to use the water. It'll be fully hot by around 3 o'clock. You know, cause you know, it's 40 gallons. It's got to heat up. He said, once you hear the heater not running, the water heater not running, you know, it's ready to go. And it makes a lot less noise than the other one. The other one made a lot of noise, but you know, you could really hear the other one. I knew when I was here in the studio B, I could hear it because it's, you know, about 12 feet behind me, directly behind me, in the laundry room. So I was happy about that. And then, you know, Liz left school, not early, but right at 3 o'clock, right when the kids were done and she came home. And, you know, the thought was at that time that I was going to take a nap and then we were going to go vote. And I said, you know what, let's just go now, because, you know, the longer we wait, you know, people will be coming home from work and the lines will be long and so forth. So when we got there, the line, not that it was long, you know, we were maybe, you know, 8 or 10 people in, but you know, it was a lot of stuff to fill out. So every spot is you know, you need a place to write. So, you know, they have these basically it's like a round table. Just imagine a high top at a bar that has a divider, you know, a four-way divider on it. So you could fill it out in quote unquote privacy. Liz picked, there was a table towards the back of this gym that we were in an elementary school. And she asked one of the guys that worked there, hey, can we use that table? And, you know, so she sat down and it was like, it's kind of like a picnic table. If you remember when you're in school, you know, it's like a picnic table, but it's, you know, got plastic and, you know, it's not, they don't have the grooves where stuff falls down in the middle and so forth. The guy saw me standing and he brought me over a chair and I said, no, I don't need it. I'm good. I said, I know I could sit here if I wanted to. And I just, like I mentioned earlier, I don't like to sit down too much. And I think the only reason I sit for this podcast most of the time is because, you know, I do have to zoom in on my screen sometimes. I do have to hit the controls to start and stop the recording and whatnot. So I don't typically walk around a lot on mine. And I don't like to do it once I start, because once I start, you know, my chair makes a lot of noise. It does squeak if I, you know, even turn it a little bit. And then it's on a cement floor. So it, you know, the wheels make a lot of noise too. So that's why once, if I hit record while I'm sitting down, I usually stay seated. So, so, the water heater was done. We got home and I took a nap for about 45 minutes, then got in, then ate dinner, then got in the shower. And it was so nice to get in that shower. Now, we got to bump up the heat a little bit. The guy set it at 120. He said, by law, we can't make it any hotter. what was that? Mohada Mo Better? Something like that, right? It was a movie, right? One of the Wayans, Damon Wayans, maybe. I could have that a little wrong. I'm sure somebody will correct me. Frank, Dan, I'm speaking to you guys. Alex, maybe you too. So that was the water heater. And it was just, you know, as I was texting with my friend Alex, I said to him, I said, you know, there's three things in the running for what's going to go wrong next. It's the HVAC, which, you know, we've gotten a price for that. And I hope it's not that because, you know, it's 15,000 plus or minus. The spigot in the faucet in the kitchen is horrible. And, you know, I honestly thought that was going to be the next thing we had to replace. Or the stove. And I know I've mentioned the stove before because they've been out three times to fix it and they've replaced one part. Now they're going to replace it again. What will happen is we'll preheat the oven and it'll just shut off after a while. And, you know, it just keeps doing it. It happened last night. Now I happened to be in the kitchen and I heard it firing. Then I didn't hear anything. So I went over and I checked. And not that I could easily see what the temperature set at, but the temperature takes the time away. So I know if I see the time, you know, the oven is off. So that happened. I think it happened twice yesterday, actually. So we're waiting to hear from when our new part comes in to get that fixed. You know, at some point they're going to say, hey, we can't keep coming out. You're just going to have to buy a new stove. And again, stove is not old, around 5 years, plus or minus. You know, the kitchen was redone. I don't know if the people that we bought the house from redid the kitchen or the people before them redid the kitchen. They're Maytag items. So, you know, I would hesitate buying Maytag again. Not that we bought, I mean, we technically bought these, but, you know, and they were probably under warranty if we were the original owners or the ones that bought it. But they, that would not cover, because we weren't the people that bought it. So one last item, and then I will let you go if you're still here. So, I actually have two items cause I just remembered one more thing. And I'll touch on that last thing. It's a short one, but this other one, I mentioned White Canes Connect, which is the podcast that I do with Lisa Bryant, who is a Keystone Chapter, member. And, if we can twist her arm enough, back on the board, she was on the board, previously as the secretary, and, she didn't want to continue with it because it's a lot. I'm the treasurer. It's a lot. Now the sad thing about being the treasurer, Liz has to help with some of it because I don't use a computer. We don't have QuickBooks or anything for that. So, you know, Liz writes the checks, writes the deposit tickets up, obviously has to take the deposits. So Lisa and I do this podcast. Lisa's idea to start, she wanted to start something and she's going through everything. And she said to me, how do you think that sounds? I said, it sounds like you're describing a podcast, which I had been on her to start, you know, for the last year or so. And so she had pitched it, and maybe we pitched it together, to Lynn Heights, who is the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. Lynn liked the idea, and we told her our idea as far as how much we were going to do it. And initially, we were going to do them monthly. And once we started them, you know, I thought, you know, we're going to have to do these more frequently. And I said, let's wait until we get on the podcast directories and then we can start doing them weekly because there's enough content. I mean, there's, you know, everything you do each week, you know, blind people do also. So there's, you know, issues everywhere. There's people that we can spotlight on to do things that you wouldn't expect a blind person to do. There's items out there specifically for blind people to help them do some of those things. You know, we can do a lot of different things and talk about a lot of different things, as well as talk about what each of the chapters around the state are doing. And, you know, so finally, so I guess we had six episodes in. And then, like I said, it's convention season. So we really pushed to get a lot of stuff done for the convention, you know, to try and get people excited about going. It is going to be in person. So I'll be traveling to Harrisburg next week. So next week's podcast is actually going to be recorded a day early, although it will probably still drop on Thursday because, you know, Thursday's my day. I mean, not mine specifically and particularly. I mean, it's yours too, because you have to live through it as well. But that's the day I picked, Thursday, when I started, and sticking with it all these years later. Not that many years, but, you know, 152 episodes later. So, you know, we wanted to get folks excited to go to the convention because it really makes a difference. When you're around other people who are like you in the fact that, hey, I can't see, but, you know, look, hey, I got on a train and made it here to Harrisburg from Philadelphia. And hey, I got on a train and made it here from Erie. And so forth. It just, for some people, it really gets them excited and said, hey, look, if that bald, ugly guy over there can do it, me, then I could probably do it too. So it was important to us to get a lot of folks on. We talked to a guy named Party Gill, which is funny. When I do dictation to tell somebody about the episode, or when Lisa and I were going back and forth, it turned Party, his name is spelled P-A-R-D-Y, into Party, and it turned Gill sometimes into Girl. So it was kind of funny. And I usually didn't change that because Lisa knew who I was talking about. If I was sending it to somebody else, that's a different story. So, you know, we had all these folks who were presenting. We have an episode with Party. Like I said, Party's from the UK. He's going to be presenting to the students division. You know, we talked to a guy named David DiNoteris, who has a company that is helps students and, you know, just about anybody, you know, get what they need and do what they can do, get the most out of everything. And he was appointed by Governor Rendell back in the day to head up, I don't know if it's ORV or BBVS, but he's done that. He's just a very knowledgeable, very funny. He's the kind of teacher that you would want to have when you're in school. You know, thinking back, listening to him when we interviewed him last week, and that's the episode 10 that I'm hoping will drop today. I just have one more thing to do with it before I can publish it. You know, just, it was just great speaking to him, and he has a mixer that has all the sound effects. So, so it kind of made me really want to set mine up. I don't have as many sound effects or will be able to do as many sound effects as him, but it will be enough because I could really see that I would go nuts with it, especially if, you know, in today's, you know, episode, you know, I'd have a, you know, when I said I lost in fantasy football, I wah, 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 stuff like that. So, you know, we've been trying to crank out these episodes in the last 2 weeks, you know, because we were busy with Believe You Can for so long. Man, you know, I thought I was going to get through this episode without talking about it. I apologize, but I mean, the Believe You Can thing was really a big thing for us and a really good thing for us. So forgive me for mentioning it again 2.5 weeks after it's done. You know, so we've been cranking these things out, and not only have we been doing that, but I've been trying to get the podcast on the into the podcast directories, Apple, Spotify, so forth. And here's a hysterical thing. I've been telling people, you know, we're probably going to get on Spotify and iHeartRadio and Odyssey and stuff like that pretty quickly. But Apple sometimes could take a few weeks, and sometimes they reject it for certain reasons. And so it might take a month or two. And I, you know, when I started to push to get everything done so I could get them up, you know, I had to make sure the artwork was done, which I created, you know, the cover art, which has the logo, and it also has a keystone. I think I was mentioning this a while back, a keystone that I created with the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania logo in that keystone logo. Because Pennsylvania is called the Keystone State, the Keystone chapter is a chapter within the NFB of Pennsylvania. Hopefully people won't think that I did the Keystone because I'm in the Keystone chapter. That's not the reason. The state is the Keystone State. That's why I drew the Keystone. And I didn't draw it. I used a triangle and a square and put them together and did a little this and a little that, and shazam, there it was, the Keystone. So I submitted the end of October. I finally went and I got an account, a new account at Libsyn, because if I used my same account just with a different show, they wouldn't give me any free time. So I did a new show with a new account, and I got the month that we were in for free. So I whoopity-doo, I got 4 days left in October or so, and all of November for free. And what Libsyn does is they are the media host. That's where you upload your files to. And then you get the RSS feed from there, and they're the ones that send it to, you know, Apple. Once you set it up, Apple, Spotify, and all the others. So I was shocked that I did that account. I don't remember what day it was, because, you know, between that day that I didn't really sleep and everything else, I got an email within less than a day. Apple said, your podcast has been approved. And sure enough, I went onto my phone, I opened my, you know, podcast, and there it was, with that great logo and cover art that I did. I mean, really, check it out. If you're on Apple, you can get it there. It has since also been added to Spotify, and it's on Amazon. I'm hoping by now, as I speak, it's on Odyssey and iHeartRadio. And, you know, once I do the artwork for YouTube, it should be there on the YouTube channel. I can't remember exactly what the YouTube channel is. I want to say it's White Canes Connect Podcast. Not quite sure. So I also set up, you know, when I was doing all this, I also had to set up, you know, because when you hit publish, it can publish right to Twitter and things like that. So I wanted to grab some social media handles. And I like, you know, like I am David Benj everywhere. I wanted it to be the same everywhere, which unfortunately, maybe down the road, it will be for YouTube. But right now it's on Twitter and Instagram. It is PA Blind Podcast. And so when an episode publishes, it will publish also on Twitter. So you can listen there as well. Again, PA Blind Podcast. PA, of course, stands for Pennsylvania, if you were unsure. It could also stand for PA. So, you know, I've been cranking those out, but there's a lot of editing. Unlike this show, which I do little to no editing, that show has a lot of editing. Between gaps in sound because of technology, using Zoom, which isn't the greatest to do the podcast, but, you know, I know it, and, you know, at some point I'll move on, but it's, you know, when you know something, it makes it that much easier, especially when you can't see controls and buttons and whatnot. So for now, we'll continue when we do interviews via Zoom. And, you know, but there's a lot of editing, you know, and then Lisa and I make mistakes sometimes that I don't catch until I'm listening. And that's the other thing. It takes me a long time because, you know, most episodes, unlike this one, which I try to do less than an hour, although it seems like we're heading that way again. You know, those shows are close to an hour, almost all of them. Now, the one with Joe, which was episode 9, is only around 20 minutes, and the one with Party is only around 25 minutes. You know, so some of them are not, but for the most part, they're all around an hour. So I have to listen in real time. And when I listen to podcasts, I don't listen in time. I listen at 1.5 times speed. So I have to listen. And then, you know, I heard this on a show, and it reminded me of something somebody once told me. I'm not sure if he was a carpenter or not, but, you know, measure 3 times, cut once, instead of measure once, cut 3 times. You know, I will go over and over and over and edit because, you know, I can't really see, you know, the editing, and I have to listen. And, you know, sometimes the very smallest fraction of a second means you get the whole word in there as opposed to, you know, just a tiny bit cut off. And then it sounds funny once you make the edit. So, I have done some great edits on that, I have to say, to pat myself on the back. And I've done some that have just been mediocre. But I'm always happy when I get something just right. It makes me feel so good to do that. But that's called White Canes Connect. And it's, like I said, on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon for now, and hopefully the others, you know, as you listen to this. And I love doing it. I love doing that. I love doing the editing. I do. I just love it. As I love doing this show. And I want to have more guests on here. Now, to just go off on a small tangent, I've noticed listening to all these White Canes Connect episodes and listening to last week's episode with Jasmine, I say, you know, so often when I am doing an interview. And I don't know why. I was thinking about it today. It could become a drinking game. If you listen to White Canes Connect, where we always have a guest, and you listen to me, there could be an over-under on how many times I say, you know, and there could be, you know, you could take bets on it, or every time I say, you got to do a shot of something. And you would be bombed. I mean, you would be on the floor, passed out drunk, because it was annoying to me, and I couldn't believe how often I said it. And I don't know how to fix it. I'm going to work on it. And, you know, again, we're going to have more guests and do more interviews. And I am hoping that I could fix that. Maybe I should put Ziggy's collar on me. And every time I say those words, I hit the button. And see how fast that, I mean, it breaks Ziggy of all his troubles when we do that. So maybe that's a good idea. Maybe I'll have to try that. I'll let you know what I decide. But we'll see how that happens, or if that happens. I wonder if you'd be able to hear it through the mic every time I hit the button. You know, there are two things that you can do with it. One does this vibrating thing, which bothers him, but not to the point where you know, if you do the shocking thing, that gets his attention. And actually, the other day, it was kind of funny. I was laying on the couch. And he jumped up on the couch and came up next to me and was laying on top of me, which was awesome, which I always wanted, especially because I was freezing. We haven't turned the heat on yet. In the last couple of days, it's been in the low 40s or upper 30s. In fact, last night, it might have been in the mid 30s. So he laid on me, and he happened to lay on the side where I had the controller for the collar. And he must have hit the button, because all of a sudden he jumped up. And I said, what happened? And then I realized that I had that in my pocket, and he got it. So I took it out of my pocket, and I took the collar off of him so he'd be more comfortable. And then he laid on top of me for half an hour, and we laid there. And it was so nice, because it was like having a blanket. It was a breathing blanket, but it was still good. He's got that big coat on, and he loves to spend all sorts of time outside now. It's kind of funny. In the summer, he wouldn't stay out there. You know, other than to go out and go to the bathroom, maybe run around a little bit. Now he always wants to go out and play and dig, and we hate him digging. I hate it less than Liz does, but Liz doesn't want him doing it, so I try to stop him. And that's why we put the collar on him, so he doesn't do it. When he does it, he gets a warning, and then if he does it again, then he gets zapped. Lastly, I had mentioned two episodes ago about my medication for my psoriatic arthritis. Well, I got the medicine, and I don't know that I updated last week. There was no bill or anything in the box. They didn't ask for a credit card number. I don't know. I'm a little concerned, because the next time I order it, I'm going to have to pay the whole $1,105 or $2, whatever it is, for my copay. And I don't want to. I will not pay that. I would chance getting through that month or 6 weeks, because, you know, I have to order it again the middle of November, right after I get back from Harrisburg. So I'm interested to see, you know, when I do go to order it again, if they tell me, hey, you got to pay $1,105, not going to happen. You know, I'll be taking a lot of Advil and Tylenol those couple of weeks, which is different, because those are pain meds. The medication that I'm on, Otezla, is, you know, to stop the damage. And, you know, so the pain meds will just stop the pain. I don't think it stops the damage. But we'll see. So no bill. I haven't been billed. And it was only going to be for, you know, $250 plus or minus dollars. Not only, because that's a lot too. But I, you know, that I could do. I certainly wasn't going to pay $1,100 for it. So we'll see how that comes. So I'm just interested to see. And I will, of course, update you again. But that is all I have. And again, just to reiterate what I said in the intro, if you are going to shop at Amazon this holiday season, please, I ask for your help. It doesn't cost you anything more if you go to icantseeyou.com/Amazon. You technically never really get to my site. It's kind of like a forwarder. And you just end up at Amazon's homepage. There is a couple other sites or links on my site that takes you specifically to a product. The scale that I use to lose all that weight is one of them. And there's a couple others, if you go back through the episodes, of things that I bought there. And So when you go to icantseeyou.com/Amazon, what that does, that is my affiliate link and is embedded in that link. And so when you buy something, whether it's a TV, a book, a DVD, do people still buy those? I earn a small commission for most items. Some items don't have commissions anymore. And, you know, the commission rate is usually between 1% and 10%, depending on the category. Luxury beauty, if you're listening to me, you probably don't use luxury beauty. but if you, you know, shopped at foryoursalon.com before we took it offline, as far as the e-commerce portion, you might have used luxury beauty. That's 10%. So, but I do appreciate it. So icantseeyou.com/Amazon, earn a small commission for us. You don't pay anything more and you help us out. And I always like that, where kind of help me out, but it doesn't really cost you anything. So I do appreciate that. And I also appreciate you listening to episode 152 of the I Can't See You podcast. Please rate, review, and follow on your podcast player of choice. I would also appreciate that if you shared it with your friends. And again, you can get the show notes over at icantseeyou.com/152. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence. It's only 7 letters long. icantseeyou.com/152. Thanks again for listening. I hope you're well. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.